Interwebcasting from somewhere in Chicago, it's the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death Show with your host, George B.
Welcome to another episode of the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death Show, episode 4. I'm George B. It's another hot day here in Chicago, and it's been a really busy week. I really don't know where the time went. It's kind of like, here's Monday, and then here's this in-between period, and then, holy shit, it's Friday already. And I'm like, oh, man, I should have recorded another episode somewhere in there, but I really didn't have much time. So it's been an interesting week. I started off a stained glass class, so I'm just kind of been wanting to do that for years, so I'm trying to get into that and maybe create something really cool with it, and maybe sell it, who knows, make some money, huh? Some extra money there? Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I might even, like, just hate it, like, every minute of it. Like, oh, this sucks, man. I just, glass, it's sharp. So, we'll see. It's a lot of fun so far. And I have a website for the show. It's not completely set up. It's givemecakeorgivemedeath.net. And if you go to the site, you'll see a whole lot of stuff that really is still in template mode. So, I apologize. As soon as I find some time to get around to turning that into a genuine podcast interweb site, then we'll be set, and you can download all the episodes from there. Right now, if you're listening to this episode, you already know where to get it. So in the future, I'll have a central location for all of this fun stuff, maybe some blog postings of mine, you know, where I say something kind of silly and, oh, look, read my blog, isn't this great? Who knows? Who knows what kind of shit will be up there? Maybe some funny pictures of me with bunny ears, and I don't know where I'm going with this. So I'm going to dig myself out of a big hole here. Just get that shovel in there. Oh, God, my back hurts. The shovel. Oh, shit. So, yeah, interesting week. Just things going gangbusters at work. So what can you do? But I do notice it is shithead season in Chicago, and what I mean by that, it's summer. So I get to hear everyone's wonderful music constantly, and kids screaming, and people running around talking loud in multiple languages. So that's pretty fun. That's what you get when you live close enough to people, and all the fun stuff that goes with it. But I do want to mention something that I think is an interesting phenomenon. And those who probably live around here in the Chicago area can verify this. The redneck glorification that seems to be prevalent around here for some reason. I see these trucks that are never used for work whatsoever. So they're not really beat up. They're just like pristine. And they have these stupid ass stickers all over it. Like, fear this. And it's a fucking Confederate flag and like fucking NASCAR shit on it, and truck nuts. If you've ever seen what truck nuts look like, it's quite frightening, actually. Big set of testicles hanging on the back of that fucking trailer hitch. I don't really understand this at all. I really am trying to figure this out. I'm like, well, we're up here. What? I don't get it. I understand that the Midwest seems to be one big weird place in its own, and you've got all kinds of wonderful rednecks living there, whether it's up in Minnesota and Wisconsin to Michigan and Indiana and around here. But the Confederate flag, really, you're in Chicago. There are plenty of people around here that are going to think that you're a racist retard. And I assume that the two people that are your friends that are with you on that are really not enough to justify that. So I'm kind of wondering what the fucking deal is here. So why does your truck have to be so big when you're definitely not off-roading anytime soon? And it looks like your truck hasn't seen one speck of mud in its lifetime. And you're playing some fucking shitty country music from Tennessee. It was written by someone who's never seen a farm in their life. And it's probably like, oh shit, let's think of some themes that people will like that might associate with rural stuff. Okay, let's see. I'm fitting to find a girl who looks cute in a bale of hay sitting in the back of my tractor. What the fuck tractor are you? Come on, really, what is the deal? So I find that fascinating, this whole phenomena here within an urban area that makes absolutely no sense. Well, we'll fucking move out there then, okay? You'll come to realize that the 7-Eleven is 2 miles away and you can't get your fucking mocha lattes when you want it, and what are you going to do if you did go out in the middle of nowhere? Everyone's going to look at you like you're a fucking douchebag. So, yeah, it's pretty weird. There's this prilly. I said a word that was pretty and really combined. Oh, wonderful. So, this is a wonderful rant to start off the show. So, I hope you're enjoying this. And my new colorful language, like prilly. Oh, Jesus Christ. Here's what happens when it's hot in here and you're just not thinking. So, I am not going to cut this out in post because I think this is funny. Or amusing. Anyway, where was I? But yes, I think there is one big voice that is above the din that seems to be fairly consistent when it comes to these people and their whole display of redneckism. The big voice, the big phrase that you hear, regardless of what the stickers say, regardless of what the truck says, is, I don't think I'm a big enough man, so I have to have all this ridiculous shit to show to everybody that, oh, I'm a big man. Yeah, that's right. I'm part of the club. Look at me. And that's how they talk in their own brain. Like, look at me. I'm a little boy who's scared of the world, but I'm gonna get a big truck and then everybody will be scared of me. And my voice is cracking like I'm a teenager. And that's what their little voice in their head sounds like. So, yeah. So yeah, I really don't get it at all. I have to admit, I have ancestry from the southern United States. Different parts. We have Virginia, we have Kentucky. But that was like 100 years ago. You know, we've been in this area for quite a long time. So I really don't. And we've shed that whole thing. It's not like we're sitting there like, oh, we're proud to be from the South 100 years ago. Nobody cares. Nobody's proud to be from the South 100 years ago. Nobody in the right mind anyway, considering all the crazy shit that happened down there. So, I'm not really proud of that fact. I don't know what they did. But I'm really just basically proud of me and what I represent and who I am. And I don't take on this kind of cultural identity that seems to supersede and dominate every decision in my life and how I express myself. So there it is. I really don't get it. Time for a commercial.
Ah, I'm Horace Wisely Jr., independent candidate for mayor. I love Bumblefuck, Indiana, with all my heart. And as mayor, I'll plan on taking care of that turkey problem. And them turkeys done took over my bathroom, and now I gotta go outside. I know I'm not the town exterminator and all like Bert is, but I also know that damn rabbits be looking at me funny too. And I ain't seen no squirrels that I like neither. Right, Dave? That's right. Well, Dave's my campaign guy. He's doing a good job there. Dave came up with the idea for me to paint all the fire hydrants green so that them dogs can't see them. So vote for me, and I'll take care of the squirrel problem too. They done take all my car parts and sold them to the pawn shop. Damn squirrels, I was saving them car parts too. So what if I keep them on the front lawn there? Squirrels. Oh, jeez. I'm just choking on my chewing tobacco. So I'm Horace Wisely Jr. And I done pissed myself. Paid for by Dave and his two buddies named Jim. Horace Wisely Jr., independent candidate for mayor.
So there it is. Apparently they're having a very tough mayoral candidate race in Bumblefuck, Indiana. A town I probably would never like to visit. And I'm sure you understand completely why after that. Well, I hear that there will be more campaign commercials that will be coming this way that we will play on the show. So we can take a little trip into the political dynamic of small town USA. Well, a certain kind of small town USA. Well, my last topic is going to be a little longer than the usual, so we'll just skip right into stupid news.
And now, stupid news.
All right, welcome to Stupid News. Our friend here, Blake, will not make it to this show tonight. He's not feeling well. And I know what you're going to say. It's probably going to be something along the lines of, well, Blake's not feeling well all the time because he's pretty emo. And yeah, that's true. But he actually has a cold. So, Blake, if you're listening and you still have the cold by the time you're listening, I hope you feel better. And I hope you feel better in the emo sense as well. So, yeah, there it is. But we have our friend Mr. Walter Sally with us. Oh, and I can't wait to talk to this guy. He actually found the story himself, by the way, which is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I wonder what his view on it is. So, Walter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, George. Everything's... oh, yeah. Everything's awesome.
Oh, glad to hear it. Glad that everything's going well for you, Blake. Blake, shit.
Well, why you calling me Blake? Do I look like Blake to you?
No, it's okay. I was just so used to having this guy as the first person on our newscast here. So, Walter, what's the story? Go ahead and read it, if you will.
Thanks, George. This one is called Toddlers Ain't No Homos Song. Puts church on lockdown. Pastor gets death threats. Members of an Indiana church say they've been flooded with death threats since a video of a three-year-old proudly singing, "Ain't no homos gonna make it to heaven," was posted on the internet. Multiple members of the Apostolic Truth Tabernacle Church in Greensburg, Indiana, tell TMZ that the church office has been getting harassing calls and the pastor has received death threats at his home. They also say a prayer meeting scheduled for this evening at church had to be moved to a secret location. Yeah. We're told they are looking into increasing security, but for now the congregation is handling it, taking turns watching over the church. Watching, yeah, it's hot. One member says Pastor Jeff Sangle is extremely worried about his safety, and this morning he and his wife left for vacation without telling anyone where they were going. Despite the threats, all the members we spoke to have no regrets about the song getting posted online. In fact, one said, "The people who are upset just don't read the Word of God. If we don't teach the children the truth early, they will never learn." Did you like my voice there? Yeah. As for the thunderous applause after the hate-filled song, we're told, of course we applauded a child who was singing a song about God. Wow. Oh, that sounds interesting there. So why did you pick this story there, Walter? Is there any kind of significance to you?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of church. I like to go to the church and throw confetti in the donation box, because I think the homeless need some more sparkles in their lives.
Okay, well, I don't know what that really has to do with the story, but it's fine. And what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I also like to go to church and dress up as a priest and sit in the confessional and listen to everyone's confession. Yeah. I love confessions and sins. It's hot.
Okay, wonderful. That was creepy. Oh, well, it is more creepy than anything that you ever done, Mr. Sally. Is this fact that they had this kid, I don't know if someone told him to say this or what, but apparently this gives a whole new meaning to kids say the darnest things. And this kid singing, "Ain't no homo's gonna make it to heaven." Three-year-old! A three-year-old! And that these folks are just, like, so happy about it. Let's post it on the internet, because this shit is great. Isn't that cute? It's so cute. This kid is for God. And it's in Indiana. No surprise there. So, yeah, that place sucks. And I'm sorry people are making death threats. I don't think that's right, you know. But what the fuck? What's going on in this world where you end up 3-year-olds? It's so cute on the internet. And you say it ain't no homos going to make it to heaven. He's not talking about God. Nobody gives a shit. Any real person who fucking knows what they're doing, knows what's worth a damn in life, is not going to take something like that and what other people are doing, homosexuals and homosexual activity and whatever is basically their part of their personal lives and their the way they want to live, the way they are, and just completely act like this is some sort of thing that people are doing for fun. Oh, I just decided to be homosexual for fun. And it's so fun getting picked on and getting people kicking me in the ass and a whole bunch of tax-free churches spewing hate about, you know what I'm saying? So I don't think anybody is sitting there going, "Oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do for fun. I'm going to be a homo." It's totally not happening. And I really have to say that people who are homosexuals, they still have to live in this world that is ridiculous and so whacked out as far as people view them. And it's not right. It's totally not right. And they sit there and they basically hide behind God.
they hide their hatred behind God. Just because one fucking little passage in the Bible says something, they're going to go, oh, there it is. It's a fucking end-all be-all. And all of a sudden, we're righteous and everybody else sucks and they're going to go to hell. And if you're not going to go to hell soon enough, we're going to help make that happen in some way. And it's fucking ridiculous. So these people should be ashamed of themselves. These people should learn what it means to really have a spiritual and religious experience. So, yeah, you suck. So what do you think about that, Mr. Sally?
Well, that's funny you say that, because I love to go to church and then scream that the Pope just died. How is anyone going to know until they get home? Yeah.
Oh, really? Actually, that one sounds pretty funny, actually. So, yeah, good on you for that. I wonder what everyone does when you say that. Jesus. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read this next story there, Walter, and ask you if you have any opinions on this one. This one is weird. Family-friendly gun range offering birthday parties for kids. This is in Louisville, Texas. Instead of a groundbreaking Friday afternoon, David Prince had a block breaking. He and his investors use hammers to crush concrete blocks, similar to what he'll install along the walls of a building inside a Louisville industrial park. Prince is building what he is proud to call one of the highest quality state-of-the-art air-conditioned gun ranges in Texas. There are still office cubicles inside the 17,000 square foot facility, but he's about to transform it all into a 24-lane indoor firing range aimed at experts and novices. Real novices. Eagle Gun Range will host birthday parties for kids. One of the reasons we're doing this, well, let me get into character here. One of the reasons we're doing this is when I had my boys, I didn't have a place to take them and educate them about how to handle guns safely, Prince explained. I really want families to be able to take care of the kids here and teach them young shooters how to shoot safely. Two rooms will be available for birthday parties. The age limit is 8 years old. Oh, fuck. You have to be tall enough to get above the shooting table, Prince said. They're not going to be left unattended. Parents are going to be one-on-one, or if there's not enough parents, we'll have range safety officers here to show them how to do it safely. We're going to do a lot of education here at this range, he added. The kickoff party Friday drew a big crowd, and Prince was being well-received by his neighbors in Louisville. Denton County Commissioner Hugh Coleman said he was happy to have the facility in Louisville.
I am thrilled to add jobs and add to the tax base, and I think gun rights are for everyone, he said.
But some see things in a different way. Don McMullen is a mom raising two sons in East Dallas, and she's done some gun control advocacy in the past.
It makes me very nervous, she said. I think 8-year-olds developmentally can't tell the difference between play and reality sometimes. And also, to put it in a party or game atmosphere just seems to not respect a gun as much as we should respect guns, she said.
But Prince said, respect is exactly what he'll be teaching.
We truly believe it's a right and a privilege to shoot and to bear arms, he said.
He said, oh God, why would I put the twang on, he said. It is so stupid. I was on a roll.
But you have responsibility to know how to do it well. It's your responsibility to know how to take care of your gun and know how to use it. Ignorance is not bliss in this situation, he added. Until they outlaw guns, people are going to have to access them and should have to access to them. And they need to be educated. Take the mystery out of the guns.
Eagle Gun Range expects to open business sometime in the late summer or early fall, so I can just picture this right now, Walter. Some kind of little mascot for the kids.
I'm Squirrely, the gun squirrel. Here I am. Bang, bang.
Squirrely, the gun squirrel wants to teach you gun safety. I don't know what's happening here. Here's the deal. I kind of get what he's saying. yes, people should learn. They should know what they're doing before they go out and have them and shoot and do whatever the hell they're doing with them. They should know what the safety aspect of it is. They should know what's going on, when to do things, when to not do things. But I don't think they need to start when they're 8, maybe like 14 or something. And I remember what I was like when I was a 14. I think about any 14-year-old kid, especially of the male variety, we're all just like, oh, 14, I know everything. Even then, it's kind of like, oh, shit, I don't know. These people are pretty immature. But I think it's way better than 8, and it makes a little more sense. Especially if you're going to go with the hunting angle, which everybody likes to say, oh, this is for hunting. Okay, bullshit. It is and it isn't. But, okay, I don't know. Just do it at a later age and make sure that you're not trying to make it cool. Here's a problem. It's also kind of making it cool. Oh, it's cool for kids to be into guns and stuff like that. And I don't really agree with that. I don't think it's appropriate for a mind that young to kind of be flown. They should know what it's about. I mean, they shouldn't just keep them in the dark about it. But I don't think, you know, you need to have a special occasion, you know, a birthday party, and have all this shit going on and bring them there. And here's what daddy does when he's angry and has to go out for a walk. He goes to the range and starts shooting shit and feel better. And, you know, whatever. That's what people want to do. Great. But keep the kids out of it. For fuck's sake, keep the kids out of it. What do you think about that there, Walter?
Nah. Guns. I just like the way the steel feels in my hand and the warmth of the tip after you blow it off.
Okay, I hope you're talking about the same guns I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, it's a little weird. And it's kind of weird how I made that woman sort of sound like she was from Minnesota for the story. I don't know what's going on. So, that's interesting. I really hope nobody gets hurt there. Shooting them guns off and being idiots. There it is. Yeah. It's a scary world out there. Some of them have guns. You have kids with guns, and you can have kids with hate. Put them all together, and what do you get?
A soldier for God.
God. That was ironic. Somebody help us all. Somebody.
Batman, save us. Oh, God, we're going to get... Oh, no.
That was funny, George. Yeah.
Well, Walter, I would like to have to say goodbye here and bring in Southside Pat soon. Anything else you'd like to say before you take off there?
Yeah, George. Pat reads Penthouse magazines, and I used to be the editor of Fluffers Weekly. I just thought you'd like to know that.
Well, that's good to know for some kind of notes that I will never take in the future, so I don't know what to do with that, really.
Well, yeah, just, I'd say subscribe because it's a good magazine. Yeah.
Okay, well, Walter, thanks for being here, and good story that you brought in that was made some lively conversation, so have a good week. I'll see you next time around there.
Bye, George. Yeah.
All right, now it's time to welcome Southside Pat. How you doing there, buddy?
Hey there, George. I am very happy. I got some exciting news for you when it comes to sports there. I'm going to talk about it because it's my beloved White Sox. They are number one, first place in the Central Division there, so they're doing very well, and I can't say the same for the Chicago Cubs. I mean Cubs, I'm sorry there. The Cubs, yes. I think they should stick to hairdressing, George, because they can't play baseball at all there.
Stick to hairdressing, huh? Well, it's not bad. It's not bad coming from you, considering you're not really creative with your insults usually, so I would have to give you a little golf clap for that one. Yeah, golf clap. Hey, fuck you, George. I don't care. You're not going to bother me anyway. I'm on such a high. The White Sox are doing great. No one robbed me for Coors this week. It's just been absolutely wonderful. I even ran into my ex-wife and actually didn't have a bad encounter there. You know, we just kind of talked really nice and all. Like, I was a real gentleman. I didn't bring up any of the things that she used to piss me off with, so that's good. I'd say that's a winning kind of week in my book there. Yeah, it doesn't sound bad at all. So what else is new with you, by the way? Are you excited about the summer that is coming up? Do you have any big plans for the summer? Any big trips? I'm going to a few games at the Sox Park there. Just going to drink some Coors. Oh, wait, they only got Miller Lite, I think. They have some Miller Lights and just sit there and enjoy the White Sox kicking some ass. And have a few brats and watch some fireworks. You know, their fireworks are great. It's not just for 4th of July there. Fireworks are wonderful to watch when you're at a White Sox game because that's the only game that kind of matters around here. Yeah, what they do in the world's largest gay bar up there in Wrigley, who knows? They probably swap fashion tips or something up there in the stands, if you catch my drift. Probably. I don't know. I was only there once, kind of a company thing. It was fun. It was all right. A nice view from the park of the buildings and stuff. Kind of cool. So what'd you do in the bathrooms when you were over there, huh? Because, say, I'm sure you'd have to watch out. There might be somebody there to take advantage of you there. What were you doing at Wrigley? I never set foot in that goddamn place. Well, you know, I just thought it would be fun. It's a game. Enjoy a game. Baseball. I wouldn't call that baseball if I were you. They're playing around with sticks and balls, but there's no game going on there. If you know what I mean. Yeah. How long are you going to go on with the same shtick about, oh, the queers, and who cares? Just let it go, man. Can't you just be happy that you're doing well? I don't know about you personally, but your team's doing well, so I'm sure it's fun living vicariously through other people when you don't have a life of your own. Oh, come on! What the fuck are you trying to say? I'm having a great time. This is the kind of life I was born to live. Just this slacker sitting around, watching sports, scratching my nuts, and drinking Coors. What the fuck do you want? I get some brats, I get some burgers, some hot dogs, and just fucking watching games, having a great time. I know I'm unemployed at the moment, living in my ma's basement, but hey, she doesn't bother me, so hey, I might not even have another job again, so just watch some games. You know, why not? Why don't you apply yourself? Why don't you do something else? Don't you have any dreams, any ambition? Hey, my dream is to fucking sit on my ass, okay? And like any red-blooded American male, I sit on my ass and watch the sports. You got a problem with that? What, are you some kind of queer? There you go again. You're always talking about it. Like, you're just obsessed with gays or something. I don't know what your deal is. What are you trying to... Are you trying to tell us something there, Pat? Listen. Listen to this shit.
Every time I don't know why the fuck I come on this show and get insulted by the likes of you. You just fucking guy who, what? Why don't you get a girlfriend or something? Why are you watching this shit? Why are you recording this shit? I mean, why don't you get some real hobbies, like playing sports or something, or watching sports like a man?
Well, I have plenty of interest. I just want to fulfill them. I've got creative ideas and the sort of thing that I have to do and work on and get out there, and it makes me happy. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah, what the fuck do you know about fun? Everything you do for fun is work and involves work. What the hell is that? I just sit there and watch TV. You get to put the show together and edit. What, do you spend like 8 hours doing this shit? Jesus Christ. God damn, what the fuck is wrong with you nerds? You guys got to take something fun and turn it into some sort of fucking homework assignment every time.
Are you done?
Am I done? I'm done with this fucking show, okay? Coming on here. I was in a good mood, too. I came here talking about the White Sox, and you sit there and just give me a load of shit. Well, fuck you, buddy. I ain't coming back here. I'm gonna take my course, too, you fucking asshole. Well, come on. Come back. We're just having a discussion here. I don't know why you have to get so upset about everything. We're just kind of teasing each other a little bit. You're just being a complete crybaby about everything. Hey, fuck you, Jagoff!
Alright, well, he left. And that's the end of stupid news. Let's see if we'll get him back next week. I don't know. I really don't know right now. So here is a break. Stay tuned.
And it's me.
All right, that was Contents Under Pressure with the song called Don't Ask Me Why.
And now we're going to talk about religion.
Yay, religion! Isn't it fun? Woo!
Oh, boy. Well, let me start off with a wonderful quote here. I thought this was well said. This was by Marcus Aurelius. Live a good life. If there are gods and they are just, then they will not care how devout you have been, but will welcome you based on the virtues you have lived by. If there are gods but unjust, then you should not want to worship them. If there are no gods, then you will be gone, but will have lived a noble life that will live on in the memories of your loved ones. So I thought that was really wonderful of a quote there. Really, really made a lot of sense to me. But I know a lot of the listeners to this show are atheists, and the wonderful people that have helped me get this show off the ground here, John Scott, Total Talk Nonsense, they're atheists, and they talk about religion quite a bit on their show, and a lot of the hypocrisy and a lot of the bullshit that goes on there. I like to say that I am, in a sense, an atheist, but I also have, I have a spirituality. I don't have a religion, but I have a spirituality. I have beliefs when it comes to that. I do think there is something out there that is more to our physical world than what we can perceive and what we can measure at this time. I'm just gonna not go on and say that these are facts or act like it's the end-all be-all and tell everyone they should live a certain way or that they're doing something wrong because they don't believe in what I believe in. I guess I can only say you're only doing something wrong as long as you're trying to shove it down everyone else's throats and trying to disguise your hate with religion and hide behind your religion when you are doing something that's ridiculous and that hurts other people. So, I have talked about this before. My general rule is do whatever you want just as long as it doesn't hurt other people and doesn't keep other people from doing the things that they want to do. So if you're someone who likes to stab puppies, well, obviously you're hurting things and you shouldn't be doing that. And if you like to do that, then you should be locked up. So we do have standards here. It's not like, hey, it's a free-for-all. Oh my God. Everybody's having fun. They're wild in the streets. Yeah, we don't want any kind of that crazy stuff going on. But I do want to say my definition of spirituality, to me, something that is spiritual is more or less a connection. It's the unseen, unmeasured connection between all living beings and all the molecules and everything that pretty much makes up the universe and reality as we speak. It's a wonderful connection. There are such things, such concepts as love, and one can definitely measure the brain activity and measure the chemical kind of changes that occur within one's body when they are in love or they talk about someone they love, whether it's one of their children or a spouse or something like that. But we don't really know what causes those changes. We don't understand what that connection is exactly. And for me, I think that is what keeps everything together, is that connection. That is the fabric of the universe. It's the glue, so to speak. That is what I consider to be the spiritual aspect of things. Now, I've seen some pretty strange stuff in my life. Could they have been ghosts or spirits or something? I don't really know. I don't know. I'm sure 9 times out of 10, everything could be explained with, you know, some sort of mundane theory of why something happened. But there is those instances that are very
hard to understand and account for that kind of makes me wonder, is there really something to this? Is there something going on here? So I don't know. I really don't know. I'd have to say that I can take you through my whole spiritual journey throughout my life. I'll do that in a few minutes, but I just want to continue on saying that there's something there. There's something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a manifestation of our minds, if it's what they have studied in recent years as to being the effects on the brain when it comes to things that are spiritual, and that maybe some people don't seem to be affected by it as much as others for whatever reason, whether it's genetic. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know the whole scientific explanation for things. Maybe one day we'll reach that kind of explanation. We'll be able to measure all of these things that we can't really seem to grasp at this point. And there would be a wonderful whole package that's put together when it comes to spirituality. There it is. Well, there's no God, and this is going on, and that's happening, but there is some sort of consciousness, and I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what the answers will lead to. I do kind of think we're all connected in some very weird way, and you can use terms like psychic connections or whatever. I don't know. I think there's something there, but I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to, again, I'm not going to sit there and act like I know everything about it. Because that's a big turnoff, right? That's the whole part of religion, is a lot of these people act like this is fact, and they're going to sit there and go, it's in the Bible, read it. Suck if you don't read it. And it's very black and white, and it's very right there and in your face. And I don't believe that. I think that's a bunch of shit. And what else is a bunch of shit is organized religion, because once you've organized something, you've taken these rules and these beliefs and you've kind of put them into an institution, the institution becomes the focal point rather than the spiritual beliefs. And it seems like everything seems to be geared towards propping up this institution and legitimizing this institution. And the whole message is lost. Whatever is great within it, whatever makes sense, is gone. And all the bullshit is still there. And all the bullshit is put up to the forefront is being paramount. And I find that to be a very interesting phenomenon when it comes to just institutions in general. And coincidentally enough, I had a conversation about this the other day with someone who was just completely on the same page and had the same thoughts about institutions, and particularly religious institutions. So that was a brilliant conversation. So basically, one of the main problems with religion is that everything is lost and everything becomes set up and geared towards the survival of the institution. And here's what I think. I think that it's fine that people believe in what they believe in. And I think it should be more or less a personal discovery and less of a, something that people should be brainwashed with their birth. And so this actually leads to a wonderful segue into my whole religious spiritual path or whatever you want to call it. I mentioned on the first show, I went to Catholic school for first 12 grades of my life. I was baptized Catholic. I went through all of those sacraments up until confirmation. Look at confirmation for a minute here. For those who don't know, confirmation is usually something they give to someone about 7th grade-ish if you go to Catholic school. Now, if you're in the CCD program or something, and you're outside a Catholic school, but you're still having some sort of religious education through this, I guess it's on like Sundays or Saturdays or something, and you still receive sacraments, but at a little different paces here. It's not really going to be at certain grades, but when you're in school, you get reconciliation at 2nd grade, which is where you go and confess
confess your sins to the priest. God damn it.
And third grade-ish is about communion. That's when you go up and receive the body and blood of Christ and all that stuff. The host, a little sip of the wine, and plenty of wonderful dancing afterwards. Well, everything was true except for the dancing part. So you get these weird kind of things going on, these rites of passage. And then there's confirmation, which you kind of are picking a pet deity in a way. Now, you have your saints, and you're supposed to pick a saint that you identify with, and it's thrown into your name, into your mix here. And you go up and you're like, I'm George Thomas whatever the hell. And it's not like your real middle name, but you're saying it as your middle name, the saint's name. And my saint was Doubting Thomas, St. Thomas the Apostle, which I find very fitting. And which is kind of interesting because I was kind of, at that age, a little weird about this whole religion thing. But yeah, I got confirmed. I'm a confirmed Catholic. That you're a Catholic until you die. Or some shit. I don't know what that means exactly. But it's like welcoming you into the whole Catholic thing. But as like a whole person. It's like taking baptism, but turning it like step forward. So there was that, and there was going to service and mass all the time in high school, and it's like, oh, what the fuck am I doing here? And the whole time, I had this guilt. I had this thought that there was someone watching over me and judging me constantly, and like, oh, I better not do that, then someone's gonna... And I feel really shitty after doing it. And here's the problem with guilt. You feel really shitty for the wrong reasons. You should feel shitty about doing something bad because... Look, you just hurt another person. You just violated their trust. You've done something that is not moral. But you shouldn't feel guilty because, or shitty because there's a God that's there who's going, well, you're an asshole because you just did that. That's the wrong reason. That's not a good reason to feel bad for doing something. Because you're afraid of punishment? Because you're afraid someone's judging you? That's ridiculous. So it was a wonderful time when I started to shed that, and I met a friend who was like a philosophy major and in college there. He was reading these books. He had these interesting books, and we talked about these subjects. And at the time, I was kind of like, "Yeah, I don't really know about this whole God thing. It doesn't really seem to be working for me. My life kind of sucks right now." So. Started reading these books on Eastern religions, Taoism, Buddhism. There's also a book called Atheism, The Case Against God, where it just pretty much tore the whole thing apart and done it in such a wonderful way. But by the way, if you haven't read it, it's like 500 pages long. It's kind of a boring read, except for the parts where you're like, yeah, right on. Yeah, that shit doesn't make sense. But there's a whole lot of like passages from the Bible that are quoted and torn apart and stuff like that. So that part is kind of tedious at times. But yeah, I mean, it was a wonderful journey. So I kept getting into that whole Eastern philosophy thing, which is basically godless. It's a spirituality without deity. And if you look at, the Indian kind of Hindu religion, they have their many gods. They have different kinds of ways of looking at the whole deity aspect. There's the Brahma, which is basically everything and everything, and it's a one consciousness. And so it's not like really a personified god, but it is more or less like the god within, the god outside, the god that is everything. And to me, that makes a lot more sense. Because I think there is some sort of consciousness out there that goes beyond us, that kind of is a culmination of all our own thoughts and feelings and experiences and observations. And the culmination only exists because of those connections, because that we're all interwoven on the subatomic level. We're all exchanging electrons when we're around each other, and who knows what kind of information travels with that, what kind of waves, what kind of signals that we give off. And for all we know, it is all a physical signal that we're giving off. Our body language is received subconsciously, and through the subconscious we can kind of tell what another person is feeling or whatever. And this is where you get empathy and sympathy and stuff like that. That could be possible. We don't know. We haven't quite measured that stuff just yet. There has been experiments where people were in two separate dark rooms watching something on a screen, and the other person is kind of perceived what they were feeling somehow by, you know, whatever showed up on the screen, whatever it stimulated a certain thought or feeling within someone. And I found that to be really interesting. I think that was on an episode of, I don't know, it was on the Science Channel. It was that show with Morgan Freeman and all these weird things that are happening in science that they talk about. I can't remember the show's name for the life of me, but some of you might have seen that one. So I thought that was interesting. I thought there is some room somewhere for this aspect in science to be discovered and to be looked into. Because I don't think that you should just turn everything off automatically and go, Well, that's like in the realm of magic or mysticism, so fuck that. We don't need to look any further into that. I'm like, well, you know, there's something there. I just don't know what. But anyway, I continued on my journey of spirituality. I've met some neo-pagans. I was actually dating this woman at the time that had these books that were pretty interesting. So I read, like, Aleister Crowley's... the Book of the Law, and a book on Strega witchcraft, and, like, yeah, some of that stuff's kind of hokey. Some of that stuff is like, oh, do this three times, and then say that backwards, and it's like, okay, yeah, I don't really get that part of it. But I do love the ceremony of it. I do love the fact that it is the spirituality that's geared towards empowering someone and instilling a personal spiritual path that people have to follow. To me, that makes sense. And to me, I enjoy the aspects of rituals. Rituals where you know, could write something down that you're feeling and then burn it in a cauldron or throw it into a bonfire. And it kind of is this symbolic release, which I like. It's good. It's good for you. It's good for your psyche. It's good psychologically. It's a good way of giving you a focus on your life and what you need to be doing. It's empowering. It's wonderful. So I agree with that aspect of neo-paganism. I don't agree with the fact that, there's gnomes and fairies everywhere, and I don't really know about that. I don't think so. But who knows? I'm not gonna base my life on it. So I've kind of taken a chunk of that. I've taken a chunk of the Eastern kind of experience, Eastern spiritual experience. I've taken a chunk of, you know, the whole Jesus story, the do unto others as you do unto yourself. That makes sense. But all this other stuff that seems to be like superstition is just kind of weird to me, and I don't really buy it necessarily. So I'm on this path. I consider it a spiritual path. I don't consider it a religion, and I don't consider myself a deist. Now, I do like the neo-pagan aspect of gods. That some of them actually believe that they are actual gods up there and they are actual beings. But I more or less take it as, hey, there's a whole lot of different gods out there. Some of them have characteristics that kind of seem like the kind of person that you want to be. Like, there's a god called Lugh, spelled L-U-G-H. He's in the Celtic pantheon. He is basically a jack of all trades. I can identify with that guy. So if I were doing a ritual, I would invoke that name. I would use that theme of what this person, this deity, is about, and use that as some sort of reinforcement to what I need to do as a person, what kind of person I would like to be, and move from there. And that's the whole part of it. It's not like, oh, I worship you and you're really there and you're going to do this. It's not like that, because I don't know. I don't think they're out there. I don't think there's any kind of being out there that has this specific title and these specific powers and all this other stuff. I just can't. Seeing is believing. I don't see them. I don't experience them. They're not showing up in your daily life going, hi, George, how's it going? You need help with this? It's not really like that. So, if it is like that, and everyone has the same experiences, everyone's like, oh yeah, I talked to the god so-and-so today, and I talked to this goddess yesterday, and well, then it would make some sense. And we're like, okay, well, everyone kind of has this going on. But if there's like two people out there, like, yeah, I talked to Jesus yesterday, and he said, go shoot that family of kids over there, then, well, that person's crazy, obviously, because that's not happening to everyone, is it? So, there's a fine line there. There's all kinds of beliefs and personal journeys that everyone needs to account for that religions cannot fit everyone else's personal goals. Okay, one size does not fit all. So, that's another reason why having major religions and huge institutions don't make any sense to me. So, there it is. I'll talk a little bit more about this in future episodes, some specific details about things, and maybe some news stories that will bring up some interesting perspectives that I can bring to the table. But I just have to leave with this. I am in awe of the wonderful things around me. There is a connection. There is definitely something to be said about sitting somewhere beautiful and enjoying the surroundings, feeling this whole peace, and that everything is just beautiful as it is, and it's there. It's there for us. It's there for themselves. It's the whole fabric of existence, and you're looking at this beautiful tapestry with all its myriad colors and beings and perceptions and consciousness. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to be. Of course, there's danger. Of course, there are things that aren't meant for us to. We're not meant to step into black holes. We're not meant to be on the surface of the sun. It is the balance of these things. It is the fact that the sun is at the distance it's at so that we can live and there's life. There's going to be all kinds of things all over the spectrum of the universe and existence. Different beings, different life forms, different landscapes, different whole weird worlds that everyone could not even possibly imagine. It's beautiful in itself. And I really think that there is something really to be said about that, and that people really need to sit there and think about that often so that they know that, you know, things are constantly changing, but things are also eternal. And our little problems that we have today are nothing compared to the huge balance, the huge struggle to maintain that balance of life. And even the connection between a predator and prey, say the lion and the gazelle, is a strange spiritual connection. What do I mean by that? Because, yeah, the gazelle is obviously getting eaten. Well, would the gazelle rather starve to death over a period of many days because there are too many gazelles and are all eating up the vegetation and there's no lions there to thin out the herd to give quick deaths to those animals and to keep everything in balance? just think about that. There's definitely something there, and there's definitely something to be said about the balance, the connection, and no matter what that connection is. The lion and gazelle thing is pretty whacked out, but it's nature. It's kind of amoral. It's weird. As human beings, we seem to have our own kind of moral code that works for us and works for our survival. So I think it depends on the species. It depends on what's needed for survival that I think our morals really come from. Because, savagery really isn't getting us anywhere. So I'll talk about that in another episode. So, well, thank you for listening to another episode of Give Me Cake or Give Me Death. I'm George B., and have a wonderful week. Here's some Eddie Izzard.
The space stuff, you know, string theory, Stephen Hawking's, Einstein's theory of relativity, ooh, yes, I like that. E equals MC squared, that's the theory of relativity, and it's great. You can only test it if you go into a black hole on a rope or something, you know. All right, I'm letting go of the rope now. I'm going to pull myself. Ooh, it's kind of tough. Got a lot of gravitational pull. I'm stuck. Sorry. It's just great. Sorry, that's a bit of a physics joke. anyway, E equals MC squared. Energy is massive. And there must have been... He just wrote it. It's so small as well. E equals MC squared. It works. There you go. I'm off to have a coffee now. I will plug my head into the main. Woo! Go a little bit of skiing with my elephant friends. Snowplow. There must be some physicists going, fucking hell, E equals MC squared, is that right? I had F equals MC squared. I was so close. Well, what does your F stand for? Fridges. And we used to do crap experiments at school where we decided, you know, the ones where we just, me and Jeff decided to see, to test the theory of relativity, see if it was really true. First of all, we measured the speed of light. Jeff got a torch. Jeff, when you shout go, switch on the torch, and I will time how long it takes to see the light. Okay? Shout go, because if you say, oh, hold on, if you say go, that's speed of sound, isn't it? And I'll hear that after I see the light. So say go slightly earlier so I can hear that and time how long it is before you've switched. Oh, fuck, let's say 1,000,000 miles an hour, right? 1,000,000 miles an hour, because no one's got a car that fast. And that's squared. And then the mass, can you wear the torch? Do you have a vacuum? Can you wear it in a vacuum? Does your mum have a vacuum? Well, how'd you do the carpets then? All right, wear it near a vacuum cleaner then. All right, and that's 4.5 fluid ounces. And that is it. That is the energy in counts per square ironing board.